Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, and with me are David Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action, and IFI's Lori Higgins. You know her by her thought-provoking articles on what's happening in our culture. It's a new academic year. Let the indoctrination begin.
Oh, dear. It's not really a laughing matter, is it? I tell you. Well, Lori's been writing about this for years now with Illinois Family Institute, and was an activist even before that within her own school district up in Deerfield. And you have some insights you'd like to share with our listeners, especially parents, whether they be elementary, high school, or college age. What do they have to be worried about as they send their kids back?
Well, I think the issue that is most urgent right now are matters related to sexuality. That is to say, about schools promoting certain assumptions about homosexuality and about gender confusion, which is really about objective biological sex. They're using the term now transgender, which they've created to embody and promote certain set of assumptions as if they're objective facts, and they're promoting these in schools. So right now, my most desperate concern is for parents to go to their schools and tell their administrators and tell their school boards and tell their children's teachers that under no circumstances can their children use restrooms, locker rooms, any other private facility. Not if they go on overnight stays, they can't stay with people of the opposite sex. They can't share their private facilities with persons
and
of
so
the opposite sex.
Why is that, Lori? What's going on that they would have to take such a drastic measure?
Well, there's two things. One is, as we discovered last year in District 211, when they found out that there is a...
And that's in Palatine, Illinois.
Yes, it's the second largest, I believe,
right,
high school district
in the state.
And they were making accommodations to allow a boy, he's objectively a boy, to use girls' locker rooms and restrooms. The problem was there was a lawsuit, the ACLU was part of it, that was demanding that this boy have unfettered access to the locker rooms and restrooms. In other words, if they were making private changing areas, that is not acceptable to...
Unfettered access to the girls' locker room. When you say objectively, you mean biologically. He was born a male, and he is confused, right?
Right.
And he thinks he's a girl.
Either he thinks he's a girl or he wants to be a girl.
Okay.
I actually believe that...
There's a difference.
There's a difference because I think people who are gender dysphoric, meaning they feel some mismatch between their body and their feelings about their body, they actually know what sex they are. They wish they were the opposite sex.
Okay.
So they're not in reality...
Gender dysphoric is a technical term, right?
A technical term.
That is defined by what? Just a really small percentage of Americans, right?
Very small percentage, which is another issue I don't know if we'll have time to get to, that
sure.
I think this the number of people identifying as trans
right.
is going to be increasing, particularly among the adolescent population. I'm not sure if we're going to have time to talk about that. But so what happened last, was it in the spring with District 211? There was this lawsuit, and there was, during this controversy, we discovered, and many other parents discovered, that there are many school districts around the state and around the country that are making these accommodations. In other words, letting students use opposite sex restrooms and locker rooms, and they are not telling the parents.
So these are policies that the school board has made,
mm-hmm.
but has not told the taxpayers or parents of those of the district.
Right.
Closed-door meetings.
I would say it's even
Ooh.
More problematic.
Yeah.
They're not establishing policies, because if they actually had established a policy, the public would know about it, at least some segment, because there would be school board meetings.
So what do we call this?
They're just establishing practices per particular student. Of course, the problem is, if you have one student in your district that comes and their parents say, my child identifies as the opposite sex, we want some accommodations in these private facilities, It may be one student in the district, but it is affecting all the students who are expected to share restrooms and locker rooms.
And that's an important point, because as a father, I've got two daughters. I am very concerned that they would have to share a restroom or a locker room with someone who is biologically a male, whether that be a teenager or a male man, an adult man. That's concerning to me.
It should be. And one of the problems is when districts establish these practices or policies, it'll be increasingly policies in light of some things that Obama has done, these practices are teaching our children a number of things. They're teaching our children that in order to be compassionate, in order to be open-minded, in order to be inclusive, you have to allow opposite-sex persons in your private, intimate areas, like restrooms and locker rooms.
What is it also teaching about the conscience? I can't imagine many girls want a boy in the locker room with them or in the restroom with them. They're teaching them that you've got to quash that conscience, like, I'm not, or, you know, that uncomfortable feeling.
Right. Because what they're teaching them is that physical embodiment as male or female
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It has no relevance to your feelings of modesty or your desire for privacy. That is teaching. And this is what is so, I would say, diminished. We're not paying enough attention to how do these policies and practices affect how our children are thinking about physical embodiment as male or female.
As a woman, you can tell me what your perspective as a mom of, you have two girls, right?
I have three girls and a son.
Sorry, three girls. And so what's their reaction to all this? And they're, you know, they have children.
Well, there's a lot to say about how my children feel, but I do have one son, and I want to emphasize we're paying a lot of attention to the risks that girls will encounter as a result of co-ed restrooms.
Well, that's first on my list.
Exactly. And I think the risks increase as people age. And so when we get to public restrooms, then it's even more problematic than probably elementary school. Two things I want to say. First, the issue isn't just whether gender-confused students are going to do something inappropriate or be predators. The issue is also whether other people are going to pretend, predators are going to pretend to be gender dysphoric in order to access their prey. And this, of course, is a more serious concern when we get into public restrooms.
Concerning.
But I want to say, boys are modest too. We spend a lot of time, because I do think that general population, women tend to be more modest than men. But I can tell you, after working in high school for a decade and having four children who went through adolescence and knowing a lot of high school students, that boys are modest also.
Absolutely.
And we underestimate that, and we fail to think, you know, and people are also very self-conscious about their bodies. And these are teaching messages to boys too. Listen, I would have told my son, if it had been an issue when he were in high school, that if a girl ever enters a restroom where you are, you're to leave.
Yeah.
Now, if we tell our children that, we're telling them they lack compassion. They're not inclusive. They're making other people feel bad. These are very dangerous, destructive lessons.
So what about this policy?
Okay, here's what is so critical that people understand, and I've posed this question in numerous articles and to people, and people are not paying sufficient attention to it. What Barack Obama has done in his edict to public schools, and what many schools...
Tying it to Title IX funding, right?
What they're doing, they're both using, his Department of Justice is using Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and the Department of Education is using Title VII of the Education Amendments of 1972. What they're doing is they're saying when those anti-discrimination policies, laws were passed, the word sex doesn't mean just sex. It includes the term gender identity. Okay, so now we have to follow the logic through, which is what conservatives don't do enough of. So if you say you can't discriminate based on either sex or gender identity, to say you can't discriminate means you cannot take those conditions into account. That's what it means. So now, schools are allowing boys to use restrooms. If another boy, a normal boy, not a gender dysphoric boy, comes and says, well, I would like to use the girls' restroom or I would like to use the girls' locker room, on what basis could a school say, well, sorry, you can't? They can't say to that boy, you can't come in it because you're a boy, because they've already let another boy in there.
Right.
And they can't say, you can't access that locker room because you're cisgender, that's the term, meaning you're not gender dysphoric, you accept your sex, because that would constitute discrimination based on gender identity. They would be taking into account. So now we have set in motion a way to prohibit us from ever maintaining sex-segregated restrooms.
And it's crazy. When you talk about gender identity, I just got to point out really quick, isn't it Facebook that has 55, recognizes 55 different genders, and New York City recognized 30-some? I mean, holy smoke.
and in the edict by the Department of Education regarding all public school restrooms, they said it doesn't apply just to just to students who identify as the opposite sex. It also applies to students who are gender non-binary.
Oh, dear Lord.
So we know that adolescents put on and take off identities all the time. So what are we going to be doing now? Are we going to say, is a student come and says, today, and this is something that is happening with students, adolescents, today I identify more with my female side, tomorrow I'm going to identify more with my male side. What are we going to do with restrooms and locker rooms?
Oh, my goodness.
As long as we say they no longer correspond to objective biological sex, but instead to our feelings about sex, we've opened a can of worms.
The left likes to be critical of us when we talk about the slippery slope. But we're on a slippery luge here, aren't we?
Right.
All right. What to do about all this? Well, we'll talk about it when we continue our discussion after this.
Join former presidential candidate and retired U.S. Representative Michelle Bachmann at the Illinois Family Institute Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet, September 30th at the Stonegate in Hoffman Estates.
It is in God that we as a nation put our trust.
Michelle Bachmann and the Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet. Order tickets at IllinoisFamily.org.
No government gave me rights that only God can give.
Order tickets today at IllinoisFamily.org or call 708-781-9328. Underwritten by Illinois Family Institute.
This is an Illinois Family Institute, IllinoisFamily.org update. A conservative leader contends that the push for co-ed bathrooms and locker rooms is just another step toward advancing the LGBT's agenda in public schools and elsewhere.
More than normalization, it's taking control of the definition of what's acceptable behavior.
Dr. Alan Carlson is the founder and president emeritus of the Howard Center for Family, Religion, and Society.
Well, if you've ever needed an argument for placing your children in a parochial school, a church-related school, or in a home school, the bathroom wars are driving that home very clearly.
Dr. Carlson says Christians should be in contact with their lawmakers and use the legal system to counter co-ed bathrooms.
Make a phone call. If appropriate, file a lawsuit.
Find out more about bathroom wars. Visit IllinoisFamily.org. This is an Illinois Family Institute, IllinoisFamily.org update. This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Lerick. With me, David Smith, Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action, and IFI's Lori Higgins. We've been talking about bathroom and locker room policy in public schools, and we've got a real mess, and a lot of parents don't know what's happening, and maybe they don't know what's happening because their kids aren't telling them what's happening. Lori, how do we open that discussion with our kids about their bathrooms and their locker rooms?
Well, that will depend on the age of your child and how you're going to address it. We shouldn't have to address this at all with elementary school kids, and that's what people need to bring up to their school districts. No 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old should have to encounter this notion that people's biological sex has meaning only if they feel it has meaning. So I don't know really what to say if you're being forced into it by your school district. I mean, ideally, you should pull your kids out of an elementary school.
Unfortunately, even in Chicago is now teaching sex ed starting in kindergarten.
That's right.
And
that's
so
been
this
a couple
kind
years.
Of agenda, yeah, that's right. This agenda, I mean, this is not going to be avoided. This is going to be taught starting in kindergarten, they call it age appropriate, right?
Right.
Which is nonsense.
Of course it is. I mean, the question is, who decides what's age appropriate and what criteria are they using?
The liberal school administrators.
That's right. But parents need to go and say,
that's
you
right.
have said this is age appropriate material.
Let me add on taxpayers. It's not just the parents.
That's right.
Taxpayers. You know, the taxpayers have a right to demand, you're using my tax dollars, my real estate taxes for what?
Right, exactly. Parents need to tell their school districts that under no circumstances are their children going to be exposed to any resources that deal with gender confusion, trans issues, homosexuality. They need to say that. They need to tell their teachers, their and their administrators that under no circumstances can they be exposed to those, and they want it. They want those district administrators and teachers to say they will honor that request. I want to say this one thing about age appropriate. I haven't talked about this for a long time. I have written about it, but we need to go to our teachers and our administrators and say, when you say that this is age appropriate, what specifically do you mean and what criteria are you using to determine what is age appropriate? Parents do not demand that they define their terms and explicate them fully.
Good point.
So,
yep.
Well, you say we need to begin that discussion with our teachers and school administrators. How do we begin it? What's the first step?
Well, ideally, if you have a supportive community, I think you should get people together, as many people as you can, to yep. go in as a group. Because what school administrators like to do to parents is to say, to meet with one parent or a mom and a dad and listen to them condescendingly and then say, you know what? Yours is the first complaint I've heard. I tell you, every time parents come back to me, they will say that their administrator has said that, which is really beside the point. It's irrelevant if you're the only parent or multiple parents. Actually, the then superintendent of the school district I worked in and my children attended actually told multiple parents when they went in with the same complaint about an offensive text that they were the first complaint he'd received, and then these parents accidentally met, and that was revealed. So ideally, if you can get a group of parents, if you can't, you've got to go it alone.
That's right.
Even if it's very difficult.
But you know what? In this situation, I can't believe that there aren't a lot of parents who are privately, if not publicly, outraged at this situation. There's been a great response in District 211. There's been a great response in the western suburbs in the Glen Ellen, Lombard District area. So, you know, we need to keep that going and encourage listeners. You've got to stand up, push back. You'll find you're not alone.
Right. With the bathroom issue, I think it's going to be easier to find support.
Yes.
What they need to do regarding the bathroom issue, because I was sort of mixing up both curricular issues pertaining to homosexuality also, if we're staying on the bathroom issue, they need to contact their school and ask them, are you making any accommodations for gender dysphoric children currently? Are you allowing them to use multi-occupancy restrooms? In other words, if schools are allowing gender dysphoric students to use a private restroom in the nurse's office or a faculty, that's okay. As I've said, because we now have parents allowing their children to cross-dress at school and to, you know, pretend to be the opposite sex, if we force those kids in the restroom that corresponds to their actual sex, we do put those kids at risk. If you have a high school boy who is cross-dressing at school and you force him in the restroom, you force him in the boys' locker room, he is at risk. We don't have guards and security people in every restroom. So this is an unfortunate mess that the left has created, but we do have to keep students safe.
That's right.
So yeah. Did you want to ask something?
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but let's just say that your high-paid school administrator tells you that, if your daughter or your son doesn't feel comfortable dressing or undressing in front of someone of the opposite sex, well, we'll provide special accommodations for you to
Well, that's the outrage, because that is what's happening. What's happening is they're going to now push boys and girls out of boys and girls, respectively, locker rooms and restrooms into private ones so that gender dysphoric students can have access and be treated as if they are the
they're
sex.
They're the normal, and
that's
the other
right.
ones are abnormal.
Exactly, which is kind of what's happening with Target, because Target has now announced it's going to add these sort of single occupancy family restrooms.
Right.
But they're not restricting those to the use of families and those who identify as the opposite sex. They're just putting them out there. They're still going to allow the opposite sex persons in, for example, the man who wishes he were a woman can still use the women's restroom, and then women who are not comfortable with that can use the single occupancy. So I think, I mean, all you can do with your school districts is complain and get as many parents together.
Absolutely.
And say, this is an outrage. Our girls deserve to use the girls' restrooms and locker rooms.
Real quick, I just got to say, since you brought up Target, we are 100% on board with the boycott of Target. They are still putting our children, our family members at risk by allowing, their policy hasn't changed,
right.
really. I mean, they're making these third way bathrooms,
right.
if you wait, right? But they're still haven't rescinded their policy of allowing gender dysphoric men or gender confused men into the women's lady washroom. And that's a problem.
Right.
I think, too, you have a school board. And these are generally an elected school board who are adopting these policies that have been mandated by the Obama administration.
Yes.
When they could be standing up to them.
And they should be. It, you know, here, I'm just going to jump in. I know, Lori, you've got stuff you want to say on this one, too. But this is where the quote from John Adams I'd like to bring in. John Adams, when writing to his son, John Quincy Adams, said to him, "You know, public business, my son, must be done by someone. If wise men decline it, others will not. If honest men decline it, others will not." We need Christians to stand up, take a stand, and run for public office, including local school boards. We need courageous voices on those school boards, standing up, being wise, being honest, and pushing for the truth. It's a result of us handing over the reins of the school board to atheists and humanists or cowards who won't do the work necessary to protect the taxpayers and, more importantly, protect the children.
Protect the children, and that doesn't just mean protect our children who are being taught lies in public school, not just explicitly, but through policies and practices like this, but protect these other children. So there's been all sorts of interesting research that came out just in the past week about by two doctors who have talked about that there is no such thing as a transgender sort of, there's no biological evidence
that
this condition exists.
Science doesn't back it up.
Well, right. You know, people will say, if you know, what I always ask people is, why do you assume that if there's a mismatch between one's body and one's feelings about one's body, that the error resides in a healthy, normally functioning body?
Lori, say that again. I think that needs to be quoted, that people need to understand it. So please, tell us again. This is so vital, in my opinion.
People often say, and I've even had conservatives, one in particular, a father, a Christian father who has a son who identifies as a girl, and he said, but God wouldn't make mistakes. And I asked him, and I've asked many people, why would you assume if there's a mismatch between one's body, your objective biological sex, and your mind, your feelings about what you would like to be, what you think you are, why would you just assume that the error is with the body and not with the mind? And that's what's going on. But the problem is, the most current research suggests that somewhere between 80 and 95% of children who identify as the opposite sex will not persist in that unless there are some kinds of cultural affirmation of them persisting in this mistake.
In other words, they grow out of it.
They grow out of it. And it's actually called desisting.
Desisting.
Well, desisting. So what schools need to understand is that they are contributing to children persisting in this confusion, which carries with it all sorts of other implications for these. We are giving puberty blockers to children before puberty. We're giving them cross-sex hormones that leave them permanently sterile and harming them in other ways. And schools are facilitating this, and they're going to be held accountable for this someday.
So in other words, lawsuits.
Well, I think lawsuits, yes, but I was more thinking about will they bear any guilt for what they've done to children.
Interesting. All right, so we've got to wrap up here.
We do.
So what do you suggest are action steps? What are the parents supposed to do?
Parents should start first by calling their school and asking them if they have either policies or practices that allow opposite-sex students in restrooms or locker rooms.
It's important.
That's right. Every level, elementary, middle, and high school. Once they find that information, first of all, they need to express it to their administrators, what their feelings are, and then they should try to organize with other parents, community members.
Should they consider homeschooling? Consider pulling their kids out of public schools. Go ahead.
Okay, let me just say this. I do think even if you homeschool your children, you send them to private schools, you still need to be involved in schools.
Absolutely.
Because the children in schools today will be culture makers tomorrow. But more importantly, now is the time you have to think very seriously, and churches need to think very seriously about making funds available so parents can either send their kids to private school or homeschool them. We cannot put our children under the tutelage of adults who don't know the difference between male and female.
We have to make this a topic for a future episode. So Lori, she'll be with us again in the future.
All right. Thank you very much, Lori Higgins and David Smith, the Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action. And thank you for joining us here on Illinois Family Spotlight.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.